plate a potential nugget.
And given your experience of having worked with organizations in this field, Adrenil, what's your advice for companies to bring a culture of storytelling into their organizations? Where do they start and how do they go on this journey?
See, I think to start with, there has to be someone in that company, and ideally someone reasonably senior, who starts with a belief that stories work. Yeah. And then the first thing I tell people who come and tell me, you know, I believe stories work, but how do I explain that to my boss? You know, go back to Mahatma Gandhi, which said, you know, be the change you want everyone else to be. Start telling stories. When you are going to demonstrate how by telling stories, you are making a difference in your communication, people will start learning. Now, that obviously can't translate to the wider audience. So you do need to get a structured training program. Whoever does it. The one thing that I would like people to look at when they're trying to choose how and who do they train with is first is get people from business to teach you business storytelling. Because storytelling is a little alien to most people, or at least there's these labels of stories are for entertainment, stories are for children. When you get a non-business person coming in, my brain is already saying it doesn't work in business.
It's further reinforced.
Oh, that guy's from the theater. Yeah. And when they bring in things like voice modulation, it makes me even more uncomfortable. But if you get a business person coming and telling you, someone who's been in senior positions, has been in board meetings like you have, been in important presentations, is saying you can use it, it brings source credibility. Second, don't look at one-off training programs. I mean, not just for storytelling. I don't think one-off training works any which way. Now, the number of trainings that I have been sent to where at the end of the day, I was pretty convinced this is fantastic. And then I came back and did exactly what I was doing earlier. So make sure that there is a deliberate practice program that you set up. Now, whether that is set up with the person who trained or through your internal sort of processes, whichever, but make sure there's a practice program that is put in place that is calendared and not left to the people deciding whether they want to do it or not. Third, when you're evaluating people who are going to come and deliver training on storytelling, evaluate whether they tell stories. I mean, I had an interesting conversation just the other day with the head of HR who said, you know, I get it, the work you do, I get it, but, you know, you're very expensive. We have a few other people who have come and pitched. I said, you know, you've got to go with who you want to go. Just curious, these other guys who pitched, how many stories did they tell you during their pitch? He thought for a while and said, none. And I said, that's a bit counterintuitive, isn't it? Someone's come to sell you storytelling and hasn't told a single story. So these are some of the things I'd like people to think of. Make sure the person is coming in is not just someone who's got a theory about storytelling, but is able to tell stories. Mm. Yeah. And practice. Set in a process. And this is not really, I might be talking about storytelling because that's one of the things I do, but it could be anything, design thinking. Just a two-day design thinking course run by IDEO is not going to make your people design thinkers. There would be 5% who are self-starters who will sort of do their own experiments. But you need to put a deliberate practice program into process.
I couldn't underscore the point more about calendaring in some sort of a deliberate planning program and not leaving it to the vagaries of whether people want to do it or not. I've realized that most people lead a reasonably busy life and are flooded with enough urgent things that the critical things take a back foot. Even in the coaching work I do, I realize the ones that work out well are where we get into a cadence of catch-up, and that keeps the topics front and center of the leader in question. A relevant book in this context is Stick With It by Sean Young. He talks about the science of lasting behavior. He discusses various strategies in the book, but the one he suggests for baking in common habits, whether it's exercise or dieting, waking up early, or writing 1,000 words first thing in the morning, is the notion of step ladders. He talks about the dopamine rush that we get when we have a small win, and how that can nudge us to do more of this, and how it can slowly snowball into an ingrained habit. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com. Here you can listen to content by speakers, or by themes in the curated playlist section. To be intimated when I upload new content, you can sign up at bit.ly/signup2p2p. I repeat, it's bit.ly/signup, the number 2 followed by the alphabet P, the number 2 followed by the alphabet P once again. To know more about the coaching and transition advisory work I do, please visit transitioninsight.com.